You could be forgiven for thinking the NHL trade deadline was already here. So many moves have happened this week, it actually merited a podcast here just talking about what's going on and what could be going on. So we're going to tackle some of that here today as we get back to podcasting here on the Talking Puck Podcast. Stay tuned. Hello, everyone, and welcome in once again. I'm Tom Callahan. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm at Callahan On Air on Twitter. And please give me a follow over there, as well as check out the Discord link in my Twitter bio. And you can follow our Discord there, where we talk a lot of hockey over there. If you're so inclined to join us in the online community, all fans are welcome. We appreciate you being here. Also, don't forget Talking Puck TV every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So I'm here without Mike, so I'm just going to dive right into what's going on this week. Mike Haynes will be, back to his normal duties later on this week. But for now, you're stuck with me, okay? That's just the way it is, so deal with it. I did want to talk about Vegas a little bit, but I don't want to get too far off into the weeds on Vegas, because I feel like they're eventually going to have to do something. There's a rumor coming out today that the injury for Robin Leonard could be a fractured patella, which would be a kneecap, which would also be game over for his season. They've lost five straight. They've won three of their last 10. They're in rough shape. We'll talk about Vegas a little bit later on. Actually, that'll probably be a separate podcast. But I bring them up because now they may become a big player in other teams' trade plans, and they may have to make some moves. I don't know how they're going to do it. They're hamstrung with a lot of space issues right now, although if you slide Leonard's $5 million on a long-term IR, that might help. But they may need a goalie, and they could be in trouble. They actually could be bound for missing the playoffs. We'll get to that. But trade deadline stuff is heating up already. Yeah, it almost looked like the deadline was this week with how many deals were going down, although several big names have not moved yet. And I'll give you my top five trade targets at the end of the show, so stick around for that. But right now at the deadline, looking at teams that have a need, I mentioned Vegas and goaltending, Toronto and goaltending. Jack Campbell has a rib injury. Which with a goalie, well, with anybody, could go either way. If you've ever hurt your ribs or your abdomen, you know that breathing can be difficult. Movement is very difficult. It depends how severe this is and what the timeline is. Now, I know they say all the right things about, oh, well, he's going to be healthy. He'll make a recovery. But when? When will Campbell be back? That's the big question. So I think Toronto, who have lost faith in Peter Mrazek, they've absolutely lost faith in Mrazek. I don't know. You look at some of the teams so far that you would have thought would have made a run in the goaltending market. Minnesota's one of them. Decided not to. Didn't want to pay the price that's out there. And it looks like this is going to be an expensive trade deadline, by the way. Holy cow. Teams are paying through the nose for what they're acquiring this deadline. So it's a seller's market. But Edmonton was another one. They said, we'll get it done in-house. Between really what is now a three-headed goaltender rotation, with the introduction of Stuart Skinner into the Koskinen-Smith duo, Edmonton seems like they, number one, are going to live and die with those guys. But number two, also, again, didn't want to pay the price. So Vegas thinks it still needs to make a run this year, which, in a way, the pressure is really on. Vegas has screwed themselves with cap so bad because of this Eichel move, because of the Leonard contract, because they actually did get off by getting out of Marc-Andre Fleury's contract, but that also hurt them last year. Man, think about it. Stone, Pacioretty, and Eichel. That line chews up a ton of cap space, and then you've got Leonard on top of that, and a lot of these guys keep getting hurt, thankfully for them. Eichel's been healthy. Petrangelo's deal is massive. They don't have a lot of room, and they're going to have to shed some weight. Can they afford to pay anyone for a goaltender? Not really. Honestly, no, unless they're willing to deal a substantive contract this year, or somehow they find a team with an extra goalie that wants to take on a rental like a Riley Smith, who is an expiring contract with a $5 million deal, or they have to part with a player they don't want to. So that is interesting, but I don't know. This may be the year again. Karma kicks them. Toronto, maybe the same thing. We'll see. Are they going to want to make a move or not? They are a team that might be looking. I know I always talk about the Ducks. And the possibility of what team wouldn't try to trade for John Gibson if he was available? I don't think he is. I don't think he's going anywhere. The Ducks, really, the ones that are out there, number one, Josh Manson's already been dealt. He went to Colorado, and the Avalanche have been busy. They also picked up Nico Sturm. So the Avs are adding where they think they need to add, and they're still trying to be in on Claude Giroux, who has most recently, and probably with the most heat, been linked to the Florida Panthers. But the Avs know that they need to get it in gear. St. Louis also will need to get it in gear this year. But the Ducks have Hampus Lindholm and Rickard Rakell. Two contracts that Pat Verbeek, the GM of the Ducks, said, we need extensions. If we don't have extensions, I'm not letting these guys walk for nothing. So Verbeek knows that he definitely wants to either keep them and get deals done and extended, but he is not the type of guy who's going to say, well, we'll just kind of ride it out. You know, the Ducks right now are outside of the wild card looking in, not by a lot, but they also have been playing poorly as of late. So Verbeek is inclined to get assets for him. Don't blame him. I don't blame him. I think that would be the smart move. So Lindholm and Rakell, probably high on the trade bait board for me as far as who might be going out there. Florida's made some big moves, and I want to talk about them because they're big on the Giroux thing. By the way, tonight, Thursday night, as of this taping, Claude Giroux plays his 1,000th game for Philadelphia. After that, and that's a reason I want to get this podcast out today, Giroux will likely be on the move, and probably within the next couple of days. So once he gets his 1,000th game in, which is going to be an emotional moment for him with the team that drafted him, I think he's going. Florida and Colorado are the top two favorites right now. I think Minnesota has backed off. I don't think Minnesota wants to pay the prices right now. So Florida sent out Frankie Vatrano to New York and got back a 2022 fourth rounder. That was a cap move. They were just trying to clear some space. And then they went out and way overpaid for Ben Chiarot. Oh, wow. You want to? Okay, so I've already said it's a seller's market. This is ridiculous. I'm pretty sure Montreal made this trade while wearing a mask and gloves and possibly holding a weapon of some sort on Florida. Chiarot for a 2023 first rounder, a 2022 fourth rounder, and a prospect, which is Tyler Smolanich, who's a 2002 birth year. He's still young, has some, well, a lot of time to develop in front of him, but wow. That seems like such a high price to pay for Chiarot, who is having a terrible year, whether by the eyeball test or the analytic test. Now, Montreal's terrible. You know, there was some talk that he, like a lot of the Canadians, have been playing better under Marty St. Louis, but oof, I feel like Florida paid a lot for that, and he better produce some results for them. He really better. I understand why you make that move. I understand, you know, veteran defenseman, get you a little bulk back there, a little physical. Man, that seems like a high price for Florida. So it also begs the question, you've paid that kind of price and showed the willingness to shell out for Chiarot. What are you going to pay for Claude Giroux? I can't imagine the Philadelphia, who, by the way, the rumor has it, have been less than pleased with what teams are offering for Giroux. You know, I feel like that's going to drive the market higher. It's going to drive the market higher for everybody who hasn't been traded yet. But Florida is investing in this year. They think that this is a strong year. And looking at, you know, their position in the standings, hard to argue. They've been at the top or near the top of the entire NHL all season and currently lead the East heading into tonight's action. So that's a big one for Florida. They're buying in big time. Calgary is another team that... I love that Calgary got out in front of things early. Tyler Toffoli deal from Montreal, which I thought was a good one. They gave up two prospects, two picks, one of which was a 2022 first rounder, a fourth rounder in 24, or pardon me, fifth rounder in 24. Tyler Pitlick and Emil Heinemann to get Toffoli from Montreal. That's a good haul for Montreal, but it's been great for Calgary, and now they have even bolstered that more. So Toffoli has been playing with Andrew Mangiapane, who's a homegrown prospect for Calgary, has done a great job in his development and really come up through the American League. He looks good and is really coming into his own as an NHL scorer. They went out and got Cale Yarncroke Seattle ends up with a 2022 second rounder, 23 third rounder, and a 24 seventh rounder, and they do retain some of Yarncroke's salary, which makes this a little more doable for Calgary. But now here's the big thing is you are going to slot Yarncroke in between Toffoli and Mangiapane. And that gives them way more depth and a versatile center. Yarncroke's not a guy who's going to blow your doors off. He's not. He's not fast. He's not a sniper. Decent shot. Okay skater. But he's smart. And he can create based off of that. And really, what he has to do is just solidify the middle. Worry about the defensive game. Win the faceoffs. Get the puck to Toffoli and Mangiapane. That's what Yarncroke has to do. And in a veteran role, and a guy who, you know, even from his Nashville days, pretty easy to get along with, can slot right in. I think this is a really good, and probably will roll under the radar for a lot of people, acquisition for Calgary. I like that. And it also shows how open for business Seattle is right now. Talking about the Avalanche, they got Josh Manson from Anaheim earlier for a 23 second rounder, and Drew Helison, a defensive prospect. I think that was a good trade going both ways, and getting Manson a little earlier. Manson was a guy who obviously, again, Verbeek said, I want to work out extensions with these guys or they're going. Well, Manson was one of those three guys, along with Lindholm and Raquel, that he said he really wanted to work something out with. Manson's gone. So he's over to Colorado now. And also Nico Sturm for Tyson Jost, a little trade there with Minnesota. But Sturm is a guy who I think can kind of jump in for the Avalanche and provide a little bit of offense. A big name came off the board, by the way, this week. And this is going to affect some of the dominoes. But Tomas Hertl, 8-year extension in San Jose, $8.1375 million AAV. That's a big deal for him to stay in San Jose. That is a huge contract for him. That's a career deal. So that's the Sharks, saying not only are we not going to trade him, but we're investing in Hertl, and he's going to stay there. He's been a big ticket item for them, and you really need to maintain some of your names if you're the Sharks. So they do there. Good for them. Good for them. That doesn't hurt them at all. But so those are some of the teams I'm looking at. A couple other teams I think we may see some activity from that I haven't talked about yet. Actually, I'm going to couch it this way. I'm going to kind of look at the teams that are playoff bound right now and tell you what I think. Carolina is pretty happy with their mix, as are the Penguins. The Rangers may look at dealing Georgiev, one of their goaltenders. I think he may be, if there's anybody on the move, the Rangers may look to add a piece or two into their mix. Florida is obviously still adding. And they have not finished, I don't think, yet, especially if they can get Claude Giroux. They feel this is their year for the Stanley Cup. Tampa Bay is one of those teams, you know, Tampa Bay has not made a move that looks major in a while, but their moves always somehow come out to be major. You know, they're a team that they make these little moves and adjustments and they bring guys in and they end up winning back-to-back Stanley Cups. So if Tampa does anything, that's what they may do. But again, yeah, they're a little sluggish as of late. I know, it's maybe a little bit of fatigue for Tampa. They played the most hockey of anybody in the last 2.5 seasons. I don't know if they're running out of gas, period. If they're just running out of gas a little bit now and need to recharge for the stretch drive. But boy, Tampa Bay has played so much. I just question, can they do it for a third year in a row? I mean, possibly, but it's not going to be easy. But they're not going to change anything huge. Toronto, again, we talk about goaltending. It's the biggest question for them. Boston's a weird team for me because they, like the Penguins, I keep waiting for the Bruins to age out, except the Bruins appear to be slightly aging out. So, maybe they make a move. It looks to me like Jeremy Swayman's going to be the number one guy when it's all said and done. So I think they have goaltending solved. Capitals, still not 100% sold on Vitek Vanacek, speaking of goaltending, although he's played exceptionally well the last 2 weeks. Vanacek has looked very good. The Capitals have looked better. They are playing better hockey. Washington, though, I could easily see Washington testing the waters, not wanting to pay the price. But we'll see. So in the West, Colorado, active. St. Louis, active. Minnesota, at least looking. Calgary, active. LA, question mark. LA is doing pretty well for themselves, despite how things are going. But are they better than Calgary? No, not as constructed. Edmonton's not better than Calgary is constructed, and they are now somehow third in the Pacific. Well, it's because Vegas is in nosedive. But Edmonton will be looking. Nashville is always does something around the trade deadline. David Poile is always in on as many conversations as he can be. That doesn't mean they're going to pull a huge move, but it will depend, too, largely around whether or not they are able to extend Philip Forsberg before the deadline, what they may do after that. But Nashville is always, always active, trying to see what they can do. And David Poile is again, another one of those guys who he might make a deal where you go, who? For what? And then it turns out to be a pretty darn good deal. So keep an eye on that. If he feels he's got a chance to swing for the fences, he will. And again, Vegas. Vegas is, they'd like to be active, is what I can say. But unless they decide to stash Robin Leonard on long-term IR, which they could, they very well could. And they may have to be honest with you, depending on how badly hurt he is. They may need a goalie. Laurent Brossoit was absolutely roasted by Pete DeBoer. You know, and Logan Thompson, who I really, really like. I think he's their goalie of the future. I don't know that he's ready to step in and carry this team. But Vegas would like to be. Dallas will be active, although probably less so now. I'm actually going to take John Klingberg off my trade board because they need him if they think they've got a chance. Vancouver, honestly, I don't think the Canucks should be deleting from their team chemistry right now. If they can add to it, great. We know Winnipeg's open for business. We know Anaheim's open for business. Although I really think Anaheim at this point is kind of out of the wild card conversation, banning a crazy run. So with that, let's get to my top five targets of the remaining players available for this 2022 trade deadline. You know, here at Talking Puck, we generate a lot of media on different platforms. Open Media's 4K download suite makes my life a lot easier, and it can help you too. Whether you need to download audio clips, convert streams to audio, which we do a lot of here, creating slideshows, or even need help with your social media accounts like Instagram and TikTok, there's something for everyone, from casual user to pro. Use our special link, bit.ly/4kpuck. That's bit.ly/4kpuck to receive a special discount of 25% off your purchase. That's bit.ly/4kpuck. Talking Puck is now on Signal to Noise Radio every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Signal to Noise is one of the fastest-growing internet radio stations, and now they have merch. Help spread the word about Signal to Noise Radio with t-shirts, stickers, keychains, and more. Shipping is direct and free. $25 gets you a t-shirt, while keychains and swag packs start at just $7. Order today at stnradio.com/merch. And thanks for your support. Now, back to the show. All right, a reminder that the trade deadline is the 27th. It's a Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific. And my top five forwards that are available right now. Claude Giroux in Philadelphia. Max Domi in Columbus, I think, could be one guy who is on the move. Obviously, we talked about Raquel in Anaheim. Jake DeBrusk keeps coming up in Boston. And I think DeBrusk is a guy who has not had his best experience in Boston. I think he's got more potential. I think a lot of other people do. He's playing better, but I think DeBrusk could be on the move, especially if Boston feels the right pieces are coming the other way. And here's a name not a lot of people are talking about, but again, I think Winnipeg is going to be open for business. Andrew Kopp, he's a center, which everybody always wants more depth up the middle. Can put up a decent amount of points, about 2/3 point per game this year for Kopp. I think he's a guy that might be on the move. Defensively, I know Chychrun is hurt again in Arizona. Reports today saying it doesn't look like it's going to be long-term, which would be good for a lot of teams. Here's the thing. If you're a contender, and obviously the charm of Chychrun is that he's young, he's got term. And it's team-friendly term and contract money right now for the next couple of years. Are you going to miss out if you don't make the move for him? Some teams might be skittish with a guy who gets injured right before the deadline. You don't know yet exactly when he's going to come back. But the indication is he should be back this year, so that's good. But if it does make you skittish as a contender, are you missing out on a guy for the long term? And there are teams that don't mind going straight rental, but I'll tell you what, he's the most attractive guy by far to me. far more than Giordano in Seattle, who is a good potential acquisition. But I just think that Giordano is a guy who, you know, a little bit veteran, a little more veteran. Yeah, he had some really good years in Calgary before being picked off in the expansion draft. You know he's going to be on the move. Putting him on here is a gimme. I just think Chychrun's the better acquisition. His numbers have been horrible this year, Chychrun's, but so is Arizona. So I wouldn't put too much into that. Another defenseman that I think will be on the move, Colin Miller, Buffalo. I think Miller is a guy who is on several teams' radars, and Buffalo would be looking to add for the right pieces. Again, Buffalo is kind of turning it a little bit. They're still struggling in, well, several areas, quite frankly. There's a lot of building that needs to be done in Buffalo, but if they feel like they're getting a solid return, Miller's on the move, I think. Lindholm and Anaheim will be a big name that's out there defensively. Here's one that hasn't come up very much, but I'm putting Justin Braun in my top five defensive trade targets. Philadelphia defender, Philly right now, is clearly going to move some guys. And I think if Braun is another guy who could go somewhere as part of a package or something that helps Philadelphia get a little bit more solid for the future, I think that happens as well. Goaltenders, a little bit harder list to come up with, but Marc-Andre Fleury in Chicago, he's going to dictate where he wants to go. It's up to Fleury. Do you want to go here? Do you think you can win here? That is the answer. Does Marc-Andre Fleury think he can win a cup in Toronto? He's already turned down Washington. He's already turned down Edmonton. It's up to him. And the Blackhawks are going to do the absolute best they can to honor whatever he says. I mentioned Georgiev in New York with the Rangers. I don't think the Rangers really feel that they have to hang on to both of those goaltenders, and I think he's the odd man out. Varlamov and the Island. I really think Semyon Varlamov could be on the move. Sorokin is a goalie of the future for the Islanders, and Varlamov was the guy who, until they had this down season, I think they felt could be a great person to bring along a young goaltender like Sorokin, but they both performed about the same, and the Islanders are out of it. You know, they're just not a playoff team. So Varlamov could bring a decent return. I would not be surprised if the Islanders moved him. Philip Grubauer out of Seattle. Seattle's up for, open for business. Grubauer's name is not coming up. I still think Grubauer could be attractive to the right team that thinks perhaps he can come in and repeat what he did with the Avalanche. I don't want him, but someone might. Toronto, maybe. That would be an interesting fit to put him in Toronto. And again, that all depends on what's going on with Campbell. They've really moved on from Mrazek. So we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen there. And then Jonas Korpisalo with Columbus. I think Korpisalo is a guy who, he's your solid backup. Is he a 1B? Borderline. Maybe on a better team he is. You know, maybe on a better defensive team that helps him out a little bit. He is a 1B. A solid, reliable backup that you can go to every third, fourth game. Maybe he's that guy for a team, and Columbus is definitely going to be looking to move some contracts here. They have to change something in Columbus. They're close, but they're not there. And again, it all depends what they're able to bring back. So that's my look at not only what's gone on this week, but as we lead up towards the trade deadline. We're going to talk more about this on Sunday night on Talking Puck TV. So please jump in and join us there. 9 p.m. Eastern time. We are live. It's on Twitch. It's on YouTube. We also stream it live on Twitter and on Facebook, as well as if you happen to be on LinkedIn. You can catch us streaming live on my LinkedIn page as well. So give me a follow on Twitter, if you would, at Callahan On Air. And the link to our Discord is in the bio there for Talking Puck. Oh, we do so much, but, you know, it's always fun talking about hockey, and I definitely wanted to get this one out there ahead of Claude Giroux's 1,000th game, because I think once that domino falls, things are really going to start picking up. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Talking Puck Podcast. If you like what you hear, like, follow, subscribe. We are available anywhere you get your podcasts, and we do appreciate your support as well. So don't forget to join us live Sunday night. It's going to be a big show. It's going to be our last one before the trade deadline. So we're going to be breaking down a lot of what's happened this week. And of course, heading into the weekend, we may have a couple more trades to talk about. And we always love and look forward to doing just that with all of you. Plus, we take your questions, comments, anything. If anyone cares for a mint, I'll try to send you one. yeah, let's talk some hockey. Let's have some fun doing it. All right, everybody, happy trade deadline. We'll talk to you soon. This has been the Talking Puck Podcast.